Now you're the co-founder and president of PACE, and PACE is Producer Accountability for Carbon Emissions. Why did you start this?
Well, you know, society is confronted with this issue of climate change.
Okay? Right.
And climate change fundamentally is occurring because there's carbon in the earth in the form often of coal, oil, and gas. And in order to produce energy, you know, society takes that coal, oil, and gas out of the ground and burns it, okay? And that converts it to carbon dioxide, and that carbon dioxide accumulates in the atmosphere, and that sort of works in a way kind of like a blanket that is warming up the earth over time, okay? And that has potential long-term adverse consequences. And, you know, a number of people have come to the conclusion that we need to get to a point by the middle of the century, by 2050, where we're not adding to what is there in the atmosphere anymore. And that means that if we continue to burn any fossil fuels in that time frame, we're going to have to be taking that carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and storing it somewhere so that we're not adding to what is there, because whatever we put there stays for a long period of time. So there's the issue of climate change. And if you look at the steps that are being taken around the globe, they're nowhere near sufficient in order to put us on a target to achieve what are called net zero emissions by 2050.
Right.
We're just not close to it. Steps are being taken in that direction, but it's highly unlikely we're going to get to that point with the steps that are currently on track. And so society is not on track for this important objective. And yet the oil and gas industry has tremendous capability, as we were just discussing, whether it was figuring out how to make gasoline without utilizing lead, or figuring out how to take sulfur that's naturally present in crude out of the fuels so that there's less pollution. The oil and gas industry has tremendous capability to tackle this problem as well. And while it is doing research into it and it is taking some small steps in that direction, it is not taking the steps that are necessary to kind of help get society on track. Okay. And so I formed this organization for the purpose of making the argument to society broadly and to people in the industry as well that they should do more in a sense. Okay.
Okay.
Now this works at the interface with the government as well, because, you know, when we talked about lead and gasoline and we talked about sulfur, what happened in those instances was the government mandated something and the industry figured out how to tackle the problem. Okay. And because everyone had to do it, in other words, no one could keep making gasoline with lead in it, no one could keep making the other fuels with sulfur in it, the cost, all the producers incurred that cost, and some of that cost ultimately could be shared with the customer, passed along to the customer. So it's not realistic to expect that any company is going to do this on their own initiative, because if they do it and others don't, it puts them at a cost disadvantage. So what you need to do is you need to have a requirement for this to happen. Then the companies will unleash their tremendous capability to figure out how to do it as low as cost as possible. And society will achieve the objective in the lowest possible cost way.
So are you asking, or are you championing that governments around the world set certain standards around carbon emissions and then let the industry figure out how to get there and do it the cheapest and best way possible?
Well, that's what I'm advocating for. And I'm collaborating with actually an Oxford University professor in the UK, who kind of independently came up with the same idea. Okay. His name is Miles Allen, and he's been involved in the climate change studies for long periods of time. He's a geoscientist. And you know, in a way, we're highly complementary in that, you know, he's an academic in the UK, and I'm someone whose career was entirely in industry in Canada and in the United States. And yet we look at this problem and we come to the same conclusion as to what would be a good way to tackle it. So we are collaborating with other people in Europe, and I'm collaborating with other people in Canada to basically help to make the argument that this is a make sense approach to try to tackle this problem.
It definitely makes sense to me. A lot of people in the U.S. may not remember the Clean Air Act, but this sort of reminds me of that, where the government said, okay, this is enough. We have to stop these pollutants. Okay, industry, figure out how to do it and still figure out a way that we can live our modern lifestyle. And it happened, and it worked. And I remember the smog over L.A. disappearing and the acid rain disappearing. And so this sounds very, very similar to that.
It is. It's perfectly analogous. Now, it's a bigger problem, a more difficult problem. But, you know, this is 50 years later than when we took on the lead problem. You know, we can do things now that we couldn't have done 50 years ago or 25 years ago. And if the industry takes this on over the next 20 to 30 years, the industry will figure out cheaper and cheaper ways of doing this. And, you know, society will continue to have the energy it needs, and the carbon dioxide emissions issue will be addressed. I'm convinced that's the case. And if I go one step further, I would say I'm unhappy with the approach that the government, the U.S. government is taking on this issue today. Fundamentally, what the government has done is provide tax credits to incentivize the industry to take steps in this direction. Now, that may be okay as a way to try to get things going, but the question I ask is this, does it make sense that the taxpayer pays for this, or does it make more sense that the producer and the consumer pay for this, okay? Because the producer and the consumer can do something about it. A consumer can take steps to attempt to reduce their consumption and therefore minimize their emissions. A producer can take steps to address whatever emissions remain. Whereas a taxpayer, all a taxpayer can do is pay their tax bill, right? So the connection between the cost and the action that's necessary is lost when the taxpayer ends up carrying the bill.
Yeah, where else does the oil and gas industry play into this carbon emissions solution or potential solutions in the future?
Well, let's talk about the interface between the natural gas production and, for example, power plants. Okay, so there are natural gas fired power plants. You know, they buy natural gas and they burn it for the purpose of generating power, so you have electricity in your home. Right. And they have substantial carbon dioxide emissions, but they're buying the natural gas typically from an oil and gas company or some intermediary for the purpose of doing that. Now, If you think about carbon capture and storage, which is always referred to as CCS, right? There are really three elements to it. One is the capturing of the carbon. The second is the pipelining of the carbon to where it's going to be stored. And the third is the actual pipe pumping it down deep underground to the point where it can be stored. Okay. So the oil industry and the gas industry has a lot of expertise in the element of capturing the carbon, right? Whether it would be at a power plant or at a refinery or at a field, or of course, as Occidental is doing, they're trying to take it right out of the air. The oil industry knows a lot about the chemistry of how to do that. The oil industry knows a lot about how to pipeline gases and liquids anywhere around the world and how to do it safely, right? And of course, the oil and gas industry knows better than anybody about the structure of you know, the earth deep underground and where gases can be stored and where they can't be stored, and how to monitor something to see if it leaks, and all these kinds of questions. So really, the oil and gas industry brings expertise on all three elements of carbon capture and storage: the capture, the pipelining, and the storage element, and even the monitoring element after the fact. And no other industry really kind of brings that level of expertise to it, right?